This is Gavin Edwards, the author of The Tao of Bill Murray, and you are listening to Too Much Scrolling. I'll see you in the future.
The Too Much Scrolling for May 2nd, 2017. I'm Steve Fodor.
I'm Chip Hessenflo.
Yeah, we're just a couple of guys sitting around talking about things that are important to us. Hopefully they're important to you. And if you need more information, there's so many great ways to find more information. This is an exciting week in front of us here, Chip.
This is a great week.
Yes.
This is a great week. There's a lot going on this week.
Yeah.
A lot of things that you can have fun with. Well, should we start with tomorrow?
Wednesday? Yeah, tomorrow.
Tomorrow, if you're in the Chicago area, you can join me. There's in Highland Park or downtown, there's going to be Scott Friedman. Is going to have his Deconstructing the Beatles. We're going to be going through Rubber Soul.
Nice.
So that's going to be a lot of fun. So, I don't know. If you want to travel down with me, you can. If you want to meet me there, that's good too. Anyways, he's always... I've been to two of these so far. Each one is fantastic.
And they go through and explain some of the history behind the album.
They break down the recordings and just give you some backdrop on the songs. What was going on at the time, maybe where they got the inspiration for the song. Just a fascinating little conversation. There's no doubt that there's joy in our speaker's voice when he's talking to us.
And then... May the 4th.
And that's going to be a pun day for all the Star Wars fan, right?
May the 4th be with you. I've been celebrating this for years.
Why don't they just make it Star Wars Day?
It is kind of Star Wars Day, but the thing is, it's not exactly Star Wars Day because May 25th is Star Wars Day.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Because anyway. That's the celebration of the 40th anniversary. This is just the fun, hey, it's called May the 4th. And I get to say it to all the children, and all the children look at me like, why are you saying the date weird on the announcements? And I go, because, children, you'll understand when you grow up in the 70s.
That's right. All of a sudden, and then you bring out the nachos.
Then, yes.
The nacho jokes keep going.
Yes. Cinco de Mayo is on Friday, and I do the announcements all in Spanish on Friday.
Oh, excellent. Excellent.
Which is great.
Cinco de Mayo is... I mean, it's sort of like for Mexicans in United States, It has become sort of like St. Patrick's Day.
For the Irish.
Yeah. So, I mean, what do? We go have a margarita, eat some chips and salsa,
right.
Make fajitas, eat tacos.
Celebrate
all,
that culture.
All the street foods. And then, you know, just go, oh, so good.
Yeah. And, you know, it's celebrating the culture, not necessarily a particular moment, but there was a particular moment on Cinco de Mayo in Mexican history. There was a battle, but a lot of Americans think it's like Independence Day.
No, it isn't.
It's not.
It isn't.
That's a different day.
There was a battle against the French.
Mm-hmm.
So, and what can we do? For us, it's just a day to go have a find our own beach beer.
There you go. Then on Saturday, it's Free Comic Book Day, Chip.
What?
Don't you love Free Comic Book Day?
Of course we do.
Those of you who don't know about Free Comic Book Day, you are missing out. Go to your local comic shop. They will have celebrations of this medium that is comic books. You have free comic books to grab. You've got all sorts of titles that will be released this week because of Free Comic Book Day.
And we're very lucky. We are here in the Chicago area where there are a whole group of writers, there are a whole group of artists, and a lot of fun stores. Mm-hmm. In our area. So you may want to just go through the newspaper. Well, look on our Facebook page. I'll see if I can find some links for us.
FreeComicBookDay.com is a perfect place to find out all about your local store and all the stuff that they have planned.
Oh, well, there you go. You can find out where all the fancy guys are going to show up.
Nice. The fancy guys. That's me. I'm going to show up.
And gals, excuse me.
Brings us to our film at 11, our movie of the week. I got a chance to see a very deep... philosophical film called Captain Fantastic. This is on Amazon Prime right now, which is why I saw it. It was advertised on my Amazon Prime screen when I was trying to watch either Star Wars or Doctor Who.
Now, I want to see this. And
you should see this one.
I'm going to mention this real quick. There was just recently an update to the Fire Sticks and the Fire TV, so it's got a new look to it.
But yes.
But anyway, I want to see this film. Tell me a little bit about this.
This is the story of a father who... has decided that the way he wants to raise his children is to give them all of the intelligent pieces of himself that he can. He brings all the books that he can, and they leave society. They go into the woods. He raises them in the woods in like a hippie sort of commune sort of way. The movie opens with a scene where they are killing a deer so that they can have dinner, and the whole family is engaged in this activity, and it's training for who they will be as adults.
It's starring that ranger from Lord of the Rings, so obviously he's very prepared.
Yeah, Viggo Mortensen is a fantastic actor. All of the kids in this are great actors. The cinematography on this film is beautiful.
And it's a story about a father and his relationship with his children, right?
And all those choices that we make in life. Who are we? Who are our children? Who do we want to be? And who do we want our children to be? All of these deep philosophical questions are in this movie. I really enjoyed this
one. And this seems to be a trend in his movies. We saw The Road a few years ago.
Right.
And it was, The Road is definitely a father-son story. Let me hike you to my death.
Right. Yeah. The Road.
And I'll lead you with all the philosophy along the way.
Right. The Road is a lot heavier than this. This is a lot more lighthearted, but there's a lot of deep philosophy here. Nobody in this movie is right, and nobody in this movie is wrong. They show all the three different choices that we have here in America for how we're going to raise our families, and everybody disagrees, and they're all wrong, and they're all right in their own way.
Well, the beautiful part about the United States experiment is that we do allow many families to live very different lifestyles. Mm-hmm. Think of our street. We live in a wonderful time where we have different people who have different feelings on certain issues, but we all choose to live together. It truly is a special time to live, to be alive.
Yeah, this is a great exploration of those ideas and letting people be who they are and trying to help people where we can. And there's a little bit of sadness in here because there's some people that we can't help, that there are some things that are beyond our control, and that's a great part of the story. You would really enjoy this one.
I look forward to seeing it.
You got the chance to see Gods of Egypt. Tell us all about that one.
Oh my goodness. That is, this is about Gods of Egypt, so we learn a little bit about Horus and all that other thing.
Okay.
It's based on the old Egyptian mythology. This movie is awful. There's, on a scale from 1 to 100, where 100 is really good, 15.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. This is a really bad film.
Okay.
I don't know why we feel like we have to have video game graphics with a substandard story. I think this would be ripe for good movies.
Mm-hmm.
We just don't get any. It's terrible. Anyway, that's all we need to talk about.
Okay. And then you saw Pet Fooled. What's that one?
Pet Fooled is about pet food.
Oh.
So it is a documentary. Actually, I saw it on Netflix. It was released last year. The reason I kind of picked it up is my dog's going through a few allergies, and I said, oh, well, could be the pet food. I buy really good dog food for my dog. We get In the Wilderness, which is a mixture of bison and venison.
Nice.
And if you are a Yorkie, which is all of about 6 pounds, and we all know the velociraptors of the food chain, they just pack hunters and they just chase down bison, and
really,
and about 800 of them just get on top of them and lay them down and eat them.
Really?
No.
You could tell me anything about dogs. I believe you.
Anyway, my dog is having some allergies, and I was concerned. We had to go to the doctor, and so ended up getting some pills, and she doesn't itch as much. But the point is that I'm still concerned. So I said, "Oh, I'll watch this." There is a doctor who is from Bourbonnais, Illinois, kind of in the Chicago area.
Yeah.
There is also probably the leading person to talk about animals eating their appropriate foods was up in Wisconsin. And she was a person who took in, I don't know, wounded birds and, you know, all sorts of stuff. And it was very important to her. This is also a story about how we get our canned food, the pet foods that we have, whether it's canned or dried. What I learned from this, we serve dry food to our dog, is that that's not a natural food for a dog. Even though it doesn't have corn in it, even though it doesn't have, all glutens and stuff like that, it's meat-based. Dogs typically need to have like real meat is they're carnivores, and it dehydrates them to eat this type of food, which is very interesting. I absolutely ate it up. I enjoy learning a little bit about
you ate up the dog food documentary.
I ate dog food.
I got it.
I think what's going on with pet food is not any different than what's going on with human food. Is that we have created a way of getting all the calories we need. We've found a way to use every bit of an animal. And it's not necessarily the way we should be eating. One of the stories that we got was a can of dog food has a shelf life. And because of that shelf life, there's theory that this is what killed one of the pet owner's dogs. And so she called the pet company to find out how long the shelf life is for this can of dog food. And Steve, how long is the shelf life?
25 years on the shelf.
Yes, 25 years.
So makes you wonder.
There's enough preservatives in it to keep it for 25 years. This had an impact on the pet's health, part of the animal shut down. And cat food works very similarly. Cats are suffering from diseases now that they didn't get the old days. And so it's asking us to relook about pet food. Who knew I would be so fascinated by it? I enjoyed it.
Good. That's good. Let's see what we're going to be fascinated about this week. Opening this week, we've got Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
Now, this is our kickoff from the real summer blockbusters.
Yes, the summer blockbusters will officially begin on Thursday with Guardians of the Galaxy. I can't believe how excited I am for this movie.
Well, the first one was definitely just shocked everybody. Yeah. That would be so much fun. But they had a great cast. I mean, who do they have? They have Vin Diesel playing Groot with all his special lines.
The thousands of times that he had to say, "I am Groot." He did. He said it thousands of times.
And Chris Pratt is definitely become the Indiana Jones. He's become the Han Solo. He is just a great person.
I agree with you completely. This is Han Solo, the Han Solo of the 21st century.
In fact, I want to say of all the Marvel characters, probably only Robert Downey Jr. has more charisma than Chris Pratt.
Yeah.
And it's not that Chris Hemsworth, who plays Thor, doesn't have it, or the gentleman who plays Loki, or the Chris Evans, who plays Captain America. They all have charisma. But really, when we get down to it, Chris Pratt's like right after Robert Downey Jr.
I agree with you. I agree with you completely. I look forward to this one.
If you've got a few minutes, you should probably listen to the soundtrack. The soundtrack is definitely a mixture of country and western from the 70s, along with the disco sounds. And the song that I think is going to the credits are going to run on is a song that David Hasselhoff is rapping over.
Great. So that's an awesome mixtape number 2. I do have access to that one. It's at the library. I'm not listening to it until after I watch this movie because I want to connect the scenes with the music. I don't want to be connecting singing in my car with the music. I want to wait to see the movie before I listen to the soundtrack.
Well, anyway, I've listened to the soundtrack quite a bit. It's available on Amazon Prime as far as streaming. So you can stream it anytime you want to.
There you go.
I enjoyed it. A lot of fun.
Excellent. I look forward to that one. I hope that it will be as wonderful as my expectations.
Well, what if there was like a big line and it was too crowded to see Guardians of the Galaxy, Steve? What would you go see?
Well, there are other movies opening this week, Chip. You found a few. The first one's called Enter the Warrior's Gate. This is a video game come to life kind of tale. This is Tron for the 21st century, but it's not computers. It's Kung Fu Warriors.
So if we have Guardians of the Galaxy as the pinnacle of sort of how these work, and then you have Kung Fury as the a lower version of that.
Right, this is right in the middle.
Yes, this is in the middle of that. This looks campy-ish, fun-ish.
Yeah.
Definitely something that has the ability to be a cult favorite maybe at some point.
It certainly has that potential. It seems like one of those that I wouldn't go to the theater to watch, but if it was streaming, I would probably catch it.
Our character is transported to China to magically use his... to use his video game skills.
In real life situation, and he has to figure out how to do this. This is nothing like Tron at all.
This looks like it's going to be fun.
It would be fun. I
won't
Tron.
See it this week, but as soon as it becomes a streaming video, it seems like it would be just so wonderful to watch.
Yeah. There's one called The Dinner. This is a very interesting thriller kind of a movie. If you told me that Alfred Hitchcock directed this movie, I would go, oh, this is a good movie.
So it's Richard Gere.
Yeah.
It's based on a novel by Herman Koch,
mm-hmm.
and it definitely would be the adult film. So
yeah.
If you are a person who said, I cannot go see a children's movie like Guardians of the Galaxy, I must go see an adult film, this is right there.
Yeah, I'm going to see Guardians of the Galaxy. The other one's called The Lovers. This is Deborah Winger. She's in a relationship in outside of her marriage, and her husband is in a relationship outside of that same marriage, and hilarity ensues.
It's a comedy.
Is it a comedy?
I don't know.
It's something.
Let's just say that Wonder Girl is in a movie.
There you go. Malibu Road is a look into the culture of drugs and how we can use them across four decades and have an adventure across time. LSD is the drug of choice in this movie.
The UCLA professor is going to use his position to experiment.
Yes.
Oh, there you go.
And apparently maybe time travel. I'm not sure. There's so many four decades of something going on in this one. Again, if this was on streaming and I got a chance to see it, I would watch this one.
But there are streaming things coming up, Steve.
Yes. There is a new mystery coming out on Netflix called Handsome. This is Jeff Garland directed and stars as an LA homicide detective.
And this looks like a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. Don't you love Jeff Garland?
Yeah, it's not quite Kojak or Columbo, but it could be right.
Very right there.
Oh, yeah.
I love Jeff Garland. He is Chicago to the core and just that fatherly goofball that I tend to sometimes be.
And that's on Netflix.
Yes.
And then if you have Hulu.
Yes. Batman and Bill. This is the documentary that we've been hearing about for a while. We talked to Mark Tyler Nobleman, who is the author who wrote a book and found Bill Finger as the other guy that invented Batman.
All right. So Bob Kane
mm-hmm.
Basically signed an agreement with DC Comics so that every time that Batman would appear, it would be by Bob Kane.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Bob Kane hired a bunch of writers and artists to work with him to produce the Batman comics. Bill Finger was that person who overwhelmingly was the visionary behind this character. So from Gotham City to Catwoman to the Joker. Yeah.
Commissioner Gordon.
All these characters Bill Finger ended up creating
right.
the looks and sort of the feeling about these characters. This is his story.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much they're going to beat up Bob Kane on this. Bob Kane did pay his people really well,
mm-hmm.
above what the page rates were at the time. But, you know, Bill Finger kind of was left out as being a person who's behind it. It's always fun.
But he is now credited on all films that involve Batman. It says, created by Bob Kane with Bill Finger.
There you go.
And Mark Tyler Nobleman is the one who made that happen.
The Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim.
There you go. So I look forward to that one. We've been hearing a lot about that one for the last few months talking with Mark Tyler Nobleman, and I look forward to that documentary.
And that interview, you can actually, I will put it underneath. If you go to our Facebook feed, you'll find it right underneath this show. We'll just go ahead and link it there.
It's in our show notes too. You can go back and listen to that interview that when I got a chance to sit down with Mark. That was nice. Brings us to our book of the week. And boy, the American Gods is on Stars.
Exactly. We're recording this before the show premieres. So unfortunately, we can't review that. We'll try to review it over the next week or so.
It's another one of those that we're going to leave in the chamber for a couple of weeks and wait for them to stack up too.
Well, it's tough. I mean, as a person right now, we like to watch our shows and twos and threes blogs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it's really good or you've got time, go ahead and watch the next one. But what's really frustrating is to have to wait a week between them. Mm-hmm. I mean, my goodness, what are we, like the 1970s?
What is this, 1984? Are there cameras everywhere?
So Neil Gaiman's American Gods, he's actually working on a second novel.
Okay.
But this is not the second novel to American Gods. This is sort of connected to
American
Gods.
Like a spin-off, sort of. They took one of the characters from American Gods.
Mr. Nancy.
And he made another book. This is called Annecy Boys. It came out in 2005. And it's Neil Gaiman at his best, right?
That's right. Well, this is a fun story. You can actually, if you go in our notes, $1.99 on Kindle, you actually can get this.
Nice.
So that price point works out real well. I ended up picking this up because I wanted to read it. And I've been wanting to read it, and I saw the price was right. This is a story about Mr. Nancy, which is the spider god. So we usually know about Norse gods when we have Odin and Thor and Loki. We know about Greek gods with Heracles and Zeus and all those. We know about Roman gods with Jupiter and Mars and things of that nature, and Egyptian gods. And then, you know, you can keep going over, you know, all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
We typically in the United States don't know a whole bunch about African gods.
Mm-hmm.
And Anansi was a spider.
Okay.
And so what we learn is that the mythology of old, they were all tiger stories, but tiger stories were dark and they always ended with death. And so the spider is much more of a playful person. He comes into your life, kind of a Loki-ish type of person, has some fun with you, and then throws you out there. But our character, Anansi, which is the spider god, he died. So Mr. Nancy from American Gods has passed away. His son, Fat Charlie, must travel from England down to Florida to Mr. Nancy's house. By the way, the whole time I'm reading this, you can't help but read these in like Jamaican accents.
Okay.
It just totally just, you know, throw me in the Caribbean and have some fun. Anyway, he goes down and he finds out, Fat Charlie finds out he has a brother. And his brother's name is Spider. So anyway, Spider and Fat Charlie, they are twins, and they look exactly alike. Fat Charlie eventually ends up going back to England. His brother creates all sorts of challenges with him. Fat Charlie has a fiance that he's going to marry, but you know they're going to wait till marriage to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Spider goes out with his girlfriend and has some fun. Spider ends up going to work for Fat Charlie one day because they're hungover, and he finds out that Fat Charlie's boss has been embezzling from the company, and so it creates all sorts of havoc for the boss because he has to leave town and he finds his way of doing things and just gets bought out. You know, Fat Charlie gets bought out. Like, oh, you know this. Oh, here's some money. Take a few weeks off. And then creates all sorts of havoc around this house.
Hmm.
I love this book. This certainly is not going to be a book that you're going to go, oh, yes, 1,000 years from now we'll be reading this. No, no, no. This is the best of the pop writing. You know, if you like reading Stephen King, which you get for horror, you know, fantasy, fun, mythology, you get from Neil Gaiman. He's really fun. This is kind of a fun story. I think this is a great summer read. And especially if you're watching American Gods or if you finish the American Gods novel, go for it. This is right there. Go. Have some fun.
There you go. That one is called Anansi Boys, and it's available on our Amazon store, amazon.toomuchscrolling.com.
We should mention also that this book is being put into, it's going to be a television story. It's going to be coming out later on this year. It's going to be on BBC One, which means it should be on BBC America or somewhere, you know, sometime later on this year or next year.
So those Neil Gaiman stories are certainly ripe for making TV shows out of.
Absolutely.
Nice. Brings us to our appetite, our app of the week. And, you know, there's so many things. There's so many things in life that we can really enjoy. And we can get to a point where we get addicted to certain things. And there's so many ways to treat addiction. You found an app called Trigger. This is a way to maybe help people through addiction.
Yeah. And in fact, the point of this, I guess this section, was to say there are a lot of different apps that you can deal with addiction. So if you're addicted to alcohol or drugs or you know, some part of your life that's not a very positive influence on your life, there are apps that deal with it. What we've learned a little bit over the last, I don't know, 10 years or so, is that people who abuse drugs, they tend to withdraw from being social environments.
Okay.
And because of that withdrawal, they have a chance to relapse the chance of relapse gets pretty high. Mm-hmm. Trigger, this app that they're talking about, actually has you press it and you call somebody and say, hey, listen, I'm having some challenges. You know, what can I do?
Mm-hmm.
Most of us walk around with a smartphone on.
Mm-hmm.
This is a great way to make sure that you have connections and to be able to hopefully help you when you are in a challenge position, to be able to work through that challenge position and live the life that you want to do. If you're suffering from demons, kind of move your way through those demons.
There's so many things that the smartphone can do for us. The smartphone is the supercomputer in your pocket, and this is just another example of how this can help society instead of keeping us separated as much as it pretty much has for the last 10 years.
Well, I think we're starting to see this, especially in social media, that you are more connected than ever, but more lonely than ever.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the important things that I set out for this year for me to do was to find more social events that I could be part of.
Mm-hmm.
And so I found my little areas, and I still want to do more.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, being with people who are not you, who don't think like you, can be a very empowering, because it either can strengthen your thought, or maybe you become more empathetic. In fact, did you see the Heineken commercial that they released this week?
No, I don't watch commercials.
Oh, this was a wonderful commercial. Basically, it was one of two different types of people, and they had to do they were basically building a bar together. This is Heineken.
Mm-hmm.
And then they put beers up on the counter, and anyway, then they played the videos before they came in, and usually they were very opinionated about one thing. One person says, well, you know, I don't believe in climate change, and the other person says, you know, I'm a strong believer in climate change. The other person was a transsexual person, and the other person says, well, you know, pick a sex, so you're one or the other. But after they finished doing this, they had a conversation, and they could leave, or they could have the beer together. And it was just a very, I mean, probably about as touching a moment as you could ever have.
In a beer commercial.
But you know, it's kind of forced. It's not any different than the Carlsberg one a few years ago, where they had the movie theater, and they had the one empty seat. So you walked in, and it was all these biker guys, and they were just packed in there. And there was like two seats in the middle of it. And you had to go through everybody to get up there, and everybody looked really, really mean. And some people would come in and they would immediately leave. And then some people would come in and they would move their way up to the two empty seats in the theater. And as soon as they did, the guy next to him would pull out a Carlsberg and hand him the beer, and they would all cheer and have fun. And it was about kind of breaking down how you think about things.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, it's important to recognize we live in Chicago. We get touched with different people all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Not every community has that type of diversity, and if you feel scared to be around it, maybe go experience a little bit of it. I think you'd loosen up a little bit. People can live their lives.
Yep, I agree with that completely. I like to go to as many conventions as I possibly can afford, and traveling. We're going to travel some more over the summer and go see other places and see other people and be a part of society.
Very few people regret traveling.
Mm-hmm.
That's money that you'll always spend pretty well.
That's right.
All right. So anyway, there you go.
Brings us to our Now the News. Facebook admits that the governments have exploited us to spread propaganda.
So we're all victims of propaganda.
Absolutely.
We're always victims of it. You know, if you watch Russian Times, RT,
mm-hmm.
you immediately recognize this is Russian propaganda.
Right.
That's news. Now, there may be stuff you can glean from that's useful.
Mm-hmm.
But when you really get down to, you know, the CIA and the FBI and stuff like that, they're feeding the news. That news gets put on your Facebook feed. It, mm-hmm. it riles you up in a way that you, or Twitter feed or whatever, it riles you to an area. That's not a good place to be. So it's important to recognize your sources. It's probably important also to kind of step back from it a little bit too. A long time ago, I said I was going to stop watching news. I was going to read it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also important to recognize your sources, where you're reading that stuff from too.
And to have a diverse list of sources, not just Facebook, not just Twitter, but making sure that you have that diversity.
Well, I think that you hit something right there, is if you're getting your news from Facebook and getting your news from Twitter, you really are missing out.
Mm-hmm.
You need to step back, either go to some newspapers, you know, go to BBC, go to New York Times, go to Wall Street Journal, go to LA Times, Chicago Tribune, London Times. You know, there are plenty of good sources that you can go through and test what you're, you know, what you received.
Right.
And make sure it's, and then the ability to go to the original sources also. Mm-hmm. One of the great things right now is if John Smith, the professor, says this, well, if you know he teaches at the University of Wisconsin, you can go to the University of Wisconsin, mm-hmm. you can go to his page, mm-hmm. you can look at his papers. The point is, you can always go to the original source right there. So anyway, it's great.
A lot more than we ever could before. I mean, you could email John Smith at the university and see if he has something to say that's different from what was reported.
Absolutely. And yeah. The ability to get experts to have long-form conversation. Oh, can't. That's what podcasts are about.
That's what we try to do. We try to get those sources in here. We'll keep going. We'll keep going and getting more. There's a dentist in Alaska who is...
You got in trouble, Steve.
Apparently, he pulled a patient's tooth while he was riding on a hoverboard. This is the future, Chip.
Well, and he also recorded it. So, you know, the patient's out. Right. He's on the hoverboard. He's getting ready to pull out the tooth. I think he violated, like, probably... good practices.
Yeah.
Best practices.
I think there's probably some rule against hovering while you're doing your job. Yeah.
So the future is here, but you use the future wisely.
Yes. Choose your future wisely. That's the headline. There's speaking of the future. Oh my God, Chip. You remember Star Trek?
I do remember Star Trek.
You know,
the future that we saw in the past,
the 1960s future, had all sorts of technological advances. We are there in so many ways. A group has won millions in a competition to make a real life tricorder.
Damn it, Jim!
I just need my tricorder. Hand me my iPhone.
Well, they made it out of an iPad.
It's an iPad.
Oh, so an iPad could be an iPhone,
uh-huh,
or just a smartphone,
right?
But it's a tricorder. Basically, the tricorder was used to diagnose, you know, for the medical services to diagnose something that was wrong with you. You broke
just
an
about
arm.
Anything about a patient could be diagnosed with a tricorder.
You're sick.
Medical tricorder.
That's correct.
Well, there were two tricorders. There was the tricorder that they used to look at a environment, and then there was the medical tricorder that had the little extender that... Don't laugh at me just because I know these things.
I saw Galaxy Quest this week. And what was really funny is Alan Rickman's character, they land on the rock planet, and he's holding the tricorder upside down, right. And they're going the wrong way.
Right.
And then he turns it around, and they go the other way.
That is the best Star Trek movie.
And they're absolutely just railing on him. As he's like, oh, and he's just frustrated.
Right.
Oh, so silly.
But the tricorder, the concept of the tricorder is it's a sensor that can detect whatever it is that the story needed for Star Trek. But with your supercomputer that you have in your pocket right now, that smartphone, adding a few sensors to that, we are there. We can detect just about anything we can think of.
I think it's called, all right, so I'm going to pronounce it as Dexter, but it's D-X-T-E-R. Mm-hmm. The future is here, Steve. How awesome.
Using sensors, you can know just about anything you can think of.
And how do we know the future is here, Steve? Let's say that I was going to go to out tonight and I wanted to look my best.
Well, let's imagine that you were out adventuring for the day before you went out tonight. You had your hat and your whip and you were going through the jungle.
My hat and my whip. Oh, my God. All right.
Well, that's what adventurers wear.
All right. So
they wear hats.
I'm out
and
on the
whips.
Ranch.
That's what Indiana Jones would have.
Okay, but I don't want to smell like I just came off the ranch.
But you want to look rugged.
And Nordstrom has helped me out, Steve.
Nordstrom has a denim jacket that looks like it's been through the mud. There's splatters of fake mud on this denim jacket.
And the beautiful part about it is I can have this look for only, what, how much?
$430 for a dirty jacket.
Now, Steve, that's the type of look that I need right there. You know we're in a wealthy society when you can pay to look like you've worked out all day.
You can pay to look like you're dirty, but not to smell like you're dirty. $430 for a dirty jacket. How much are the torn jeans that go with that? Oh, those will cost you extra.
Well, there's a special type of torn.
Right. right. It has to be torn just right and worn just right. Have you ever watched one of those documentaries where they're wearing the denim in a certain spot to make it more realistic instead of you actually wearing the denim?
Well, this is a sign of a wealthy society, Steve.
Is it?
It is. It Captain is. Fantastic.
Captain Fantastic. I'm ready. I am ready. Let's come on, kids. We're going to the woods. Bring all the books you can find. We're going to the woods. We don't need fake mud. We can go get some real mud. I think we have enough information to survive another week. What do you think, Chip?
Only if we come back next week wearing our denim jacket with the fake mud.
Yes. I think we'll get real mud. I think I have a denim jacket.
You're going
from the
natural. 80s. You're going organic.
I'm going organic, man. I'm ready. I'm ready. No more preservatives for me. My dog's itchy. I think we have enough information. If you need more information, give us a call or a text. Our phone number is 805-410-4TMS. Our email is toomuchscrolling@gmail.com. Our website is toomuchscrolling.com. We're on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. You can find us on iTunes and Stitcher and TuneIn Radio. And every day of the week, you can find all the information you need on our news site, news.toomuchscrolling.com. And you can check those sources with other places so that you have more diversity of your news sources. I want to thank you again for listening to Too Much Scrolling. I'm Steve Fodor.
I'm Chip Hessenflug.
We'll see you in the future.
May the 4th be with you. Always.